Good morning. Before we begin, let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for having mercy on us and bringing us safely through this storm. We think of others, Lord, who are affected by it and pray that you would use this as a way to bring those that don't know you to you and those that do know you into a closer walk with you. We pray that you would bless this time, Lord. I pray that your spirit would speak through me and that the truth of your word would be established. I ask that all these things will be done according to your will. In your son Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, well, I'm getting started this morning. If you want to turn to James chapter 4 and verse 4, that'll be the first thing we look at. All right, so we're going to talk about compromise this morning. And compromise is defined in the noun form as an agreement or a settlement of a dispute that is reached by each side making concessions. And in the verb form, it is to accept standards that are lower than desirable. And in the marital term, it means doing what your wife wants. Many denominations, churches, and individual believers today have made a compromise with the world in one way or another. And they have compromised their identity in Christ. When you are a child of God, bought by the blood of his Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In this new creation, the believer has a new set of standards, and those are God's standards. And like them or not, there is no room for debate. God is holy, and his standards are nothing less. What he calls sin is sin regardless of how our flesh feels about it. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. God likens friendship or acceptance of things of the world to adultery. And those are harsh words. Calling a married person an adulterer or adulteress is a serious accusation, but God does not accuse. He is omniscient and he knows everything. And being a friend of the world puts us at odds with God, and in the end, we will have to be the ones to repent. For God is perfect. Psalm 18:30 says, his ways are perfect and his words are true. Now, as Christians, we are still in imperfect bodies and susceptible to our sin nature. Our ways are not perfect and our words do not hold true. We need to align ourselves with God and make sure we have not compromised in any area of our life. I'm going to talk about compromise in the church first. Paul Washer once used the analogy of the king giving his bride to the watch of the king's men. When the kingdom is full of men and women who are carnal and not spiritual, out of fear, the men in charge of the bride will change her to suit the desires of the people. They will strip her of her wedding garment and dress her up sensually and parade her around the kingdom. She will keep some from leaving the kingdom, to be sure, but for all the wrong reasons. A church that makes use of carnal means to save is incapable of giving Christ to the people and of imparting his supernatural life to her children. The king in this analogy is, of course, Christ, and the bride is the church. And in the corporate area of the Christian life, what we call church, a watered-down, distorted, false gospel is constantly being preached. God loves you just the way you are is a dangerous message. It's true, God loves us. We see that in John 3:16. But he does not love sin, either in the life of the believer or the unbeliever. We see that God loves Israel, and they are his chosen people. And Christ said in Matthew 23:37 through 38, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. He dealt severely with Israel and is continually doing so to bring repentance. And as we see throughout the Old Testament, they were spiritually adulterous and they made compromise on God's laws. The church needs to make sure they do not do the same. They were not holy as he is holy. And again, as we see in John 3:16, that God does love the world. But churches and individual believers constantly abuse 1 John 4:8 and 4:16 by saying God is love and not preaching his divine attribute of holiness. And it does damage and has no significant effect. A church that compromises in its preaching will undoubtedly have a large turnout. 2 Timothy 4:3 through 4 says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." And people like T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Andy Stanley, they all prove this. And preaching a compromised gospel will stunt the growth of a believer's spiritual life and give an unrepentant sinner false assurance. The following is a quote from Adrian Rogers that I doctored a little bit. It says, "The devil would just as soon see you go to hell from the pew as from the gutter." His original words were, "The devil would just as soon send you to hell," but the devil doesn't send anybody to hell. We do that to ourselves. A true preaching session will bring conviction, reproof, a deeper understanding of God, strength and faith, and a desire to pursue righteousness for his name's sake, not a state of complacency or feeling good about ourselves. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul calls the church a buttress of truth. That truth is God's word. And we may debate on secondary issues, but when God calls something sin, there is no room for debate. An example, the issue of homosexuality is a hot topic in many churches today. And it's said that Jesus never said anything about it. But in a debate with the Pharisees in Matthew 19:4, he said God created them male and female. That's pretty clear for me. And in ancient Israel, there was no dispute that homosexuality was wrong. And Paul, through God, had plenty to say about it to the Gentiles who lived in a culture where it was common. He addressed it in 1 Corinthians, in Romans, and Jude even addresses the issue in his book. And I can see from my Bible that there is no room for compromise on this issue. Gay Christians or Christians who have given in to these temptations are accepted in many circles. A quote from Pastor Vody Bachum, "Enough already with this gay Christian stuff. If a man comes to me talking about a desire for a woman who is not his wife, I'm not going to tell him to just go ahead and embrace the desire because the desire in and of itself is okay. It's not." Now, as Christians, we all have areas where we are tempted. We all have our own unique weaknesses and lusts. And you know, someone might struggle with alcohol. Someone might struggle with drugs. And from personal experience, I know people that struggle with homosexual lusts, and it needs to be handled as just that, a lust and a sin that needs to be given to God. Ecumenicalism, and that's a big word my father-in-law taught me, is another area of compromise. And in Christianity, ecumenicalism is uniting with others who name Christ, regardless of how that group teaches or if they truly accept what the Bible says. And it muddies the clear water of God. Proverbs 25:26 says, "Like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked." Now, I'm going to talk about an individual, and I'm not doing this as a way to badmouth him, but I feel like he is a good example. Billy Graham while he undoubtedly effectively shared Christ with many who became believers, compromised by sharing his stage with Roman Catholics. The Catholic Church, which probably has true believers in its attendance, teaches a work salvation and many other heretical teachings, and they have no place sharing a platform where the true gospel is proclaimed. David Jeremiah, who is regarded by many to be a sound teacher, frequently appears on TBN during their financial drives. And TBN is known for the prosperity gospel, which preys on the spiritually weak's finances. Justin Peters, who's a minister, he has cerebral palsy, and he primarily deals with the charismatic movement, says, a believer may unite in standing for morality with a Catholic and going to the voting booth and voting on moral issues, but they should never share the stage in proclaiming Christ. Now, we can all make bad decisions and sin, and I'm sure everyone in this room knows that. We see in Scripture with Abraham, he compromised with Hagar. He was impatient and waiting for his son. Moses struck the rock more times than God instructed him to. David sinned with Bathsheba. Solomon turned from God because of his many wives. And we see Peter denying Christ and being confronted by Paul because of his hypocrisy and so on. And believers should be careful that what they do and what they believe aligns with God. And irreparable damage can happen when we don't. Consider Solomon the wisest man by the gift of God, yet he ended up bowing to idols. And we must never get too comfortable and think we are above anything. Consistent study of God's word is the key to making sure we have not compromised. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Talk about our personal life. In today's social media apps and social justice movements, the compromise in the personal life of the believer is now more on the forefront than ever before. Many who self-identify as Christians have involved themselves in social justice movements. Vodi Bakum says the following, social justice is not a heart issue, it's a state issue. Social justice is not about individuals, it is about groups and outcomes for groups. From the biblical perspective, biblical justice is a heart issue and a law of God issue. Our mission in justice as Christians is to align ourselves with the law of God. Social justice is inherently incompatible with biblical justice. A Christian who endorses, empathizes, condones, and doesn't see a big deal with things that God calls sin has made the ultimate compromise and is the adulterer James 4:4 talks about. In Isaiah 5:20, we are warned about calling what is sin good. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Judgment is passed on those who take what God defines as good and evil into their own counsel. A believer needs to realize they are bought with a price. Their identity is in Christ, and we are called to be like Christ and have a worldview that reflects him. Romans 8:29 through 30. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. God chose us to reflect the image of his Son, Jesus, and we are justified and glorified in him. Now imagine that you were guilty of a great crime and deserved the worst possible punishment, but someone else, greater, richer, and more powerful than you, made a sacrifice so great to wipe your slate clean. You were acquitted of your guilt and you were given a new identity. and would spend the rest of your days in freedom. Would you honor that individual? Would you take care to keep your name and image clean? Or would you not take it that seriously and dabble here and there in a way that would muddy the water on how people perceived you and your new identity? Well, that's what God did for us. We have a new identity, and we need to do our best to keep it clean and show the world that we stand with God. Compromise soils and stains the image of Christ in us to the world, and it distorts the gospel. Homosexuality, riots where property is destroyed and cities burn, support for Palestine and abortion are issues that would normally be a no-go. But social media has been a poison to the mind of the immature believer and maybe some mature believers. Emotional social media posts by the lost are used to garner sympathy. The discernment of the indwelling Holy Spirit is lost to the emotions of the flesh. And 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us not to quench the Spirit. An immature believer may see something that tugs at the heart, that is our flesh, and gives in and ignores the conviction that the Spirit is giving them. Letting our emotions guide us instead of the Spirit leads to compromise. And we like to be liked, well, some of us do. And taking a middle, moderate stand in political issues to be liked and accepted is something a believer should never do. Rick Warren of the Purpose Driven Life fame recently posted on X, formerly known as Twitter, in regards to the crucifixion, if you're looking for the hashtag Real Jesus, not a character disfigured by partisan motivations, you'll find him in the middle, not on either side. What blasphemy. Christ was on God's side, and him being in the middle during the crucifixion has nothing to do with politics. But everything is political now, and a Christian's political positions should align with God. Someone commented on his post saying that the thief on the left went to hell, so he made a poor statement. People want to be a part of something nowadays, whether from a genuine feeling of wanting to belong or to be relevant, and they often compromise for that. But the believer already belongs to something holy and far greater than anything the world can offer, something no compromise is needed for, the body of Christ. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of the Christ and individually members of it. And that's good news. That's something we should strive to belong to. We shouldn't strive to be relevant with the world. We shouldn't strive to be like to the world. We shouldn't compromise for that. We have a great identity in Christ here. And as it says, regardless of your position in the body of Christ, you are still part of it. Verse 13, there is no distinction between race or social class in the church. And we should not look down on others based on these things. We are all part of the same body. The same Holy Spirit unites us all. Verses 14 through 25 state all members are important regardless of purpose in the body. And verse 26 shows how we are to support and encourage one another. Being a child of God and belonging to the body of Christ makes anything else pale in comparison. And by belonging to the body, compromise with the world is not even an option that should be entertained. The believer must mature and desire to be holy as God is, and the only way to do by that is staying in God's word, attending a sound church, praying. And I just want to encourage everybody here to come to our prayer meetings. I want to stop and just take a minute. We have good fellowship with each other, and being around other believers, usually leave feeling very strengthened and renewed. And we do pray, and God, we do. I believe it is Spirit-led prayer, and I do understand that it's in the middle of the week, and it can be a sacrifice, especially if you're tired after working all day, but. Christ made the ultimate sacrifice for us, so I think, you know, spending an hour on a Wednesday night is a very small way of repaying that. And being sensitive to the Spirit and yielding to it. You know, we see things on TV, we hear news stories. There's a Facebook page called The Christian Left, and they stand with Palestine. They stand with Bishop Marianne Budd, who spoke during President Trump's prayer inauguration, or the inauguration, not prayer, getting tongue-tied, the inaugural prayer service. And, you know, if you recall during that, she asked Trump to show mercy on, you know, people here illegally who are obviously seeking a better life, and I'm not going to rip on them right now. But she asked for mercy on, you know, homosexuals and transgenders who she said were fearing for their lives. I think that's a bit hyped up. And, you know, Facebook groups with people calling themselves Christians, you know, they use the verse, God is love, for us to accept them. But, you know, God gives us standards here in the Bible. And, you know, I have a family member that falls into that category. And, you know, I'm not going to condone what you do. I've already decided that if this person becomes joined in a marriage to another person, you know, I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to recognize that, especially while my children are young. You know, I'm not going to compromise just based on family. I love this individual. I pray for him. I have cried numerous times. You know, if it were okay, it would be okay, but God said it's not. And, you know, I have a friend, best friend, she's exactly no different than my sister Sarah or Hannah. I've shared the gospel with her. My mom has shared the gospel with her, and she knows the truth. I'm going back to thinking about being friends with the world in this. You know, I've since decided just to not pursue our friendship anymore. She's very hateful. Doesn't really have a filter, and I, you know, I love this person as a sister. I pray for this person, but I'm not going to compromise just to be friends and have her around my kids talking about her views. There's a lot that people compromise on. Churches, like I talked about, Andy Stanley says he draws circles instead of lines because Jesus did that, and he allows openly gay people to serve in his church. Well, Jesus didn't draw circles. He drew a line. Yeah, he went and he talked to the woman at the well, but he told her to repent and sin no more. You see that with Zacchaeus. After Zacchaeus encountered him, Zacchaeus didn't keep living the way he did. He repented and returned what he had stolen. And everybody wants to be liked these days. And they don't want to be offensive, but I forget where it says, but the Bible calls Christ the rock of offense. And to the world, being told the way you're living, or, a believer that's in sin and doesn't think it's a big deal, if we don't say anything about that, especially for a believer, in the Bible, it tells us how we are to confront a brother or sister that is in sin and how we are to handle them. Turning a blind eye, because, we might not think it's that big of a deal. They could be, you might think, oh, they might be doing worse than they are. No. They need to be confronted, and out and with love. You can't just come at somebody yelling at them, but they need to be confronted and, not compromised with. I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your divine attribute of holiness, Lord, through which everything else flows. I pray this week you would help us to be holy as you are holy, that you would convict us and show us of any area in our life where we have compromised, Lord, that we would repent, and if we don't, Lord, that you would give us no peace until we do. Help us to be good witnesses for you. Give us opportunities to share the gospel with others. And I pray that your Spirit would speak through us to them, and that you would use us mightily for you this week, Lord. And please bring us back again safely. In your Son Jesus' precious name, amen.